The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, many boys dream of accomplishing great things, but once they grow up, they find themselves living a life of normalcy.
But we get so wrapped up as guys in thinking that I have to do these huge things to be a man. No, you don't.
Join Troy Meter as he proves the importance of being an average Joe.
God's calling on your life, God's value of your life is not in what you do, it's in who you are.
Thank all of you for giving us this opportunity and sharing with you. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James, and this is Betty Robinson, and we really do appreciate the privilege we have of sharing a time with you that can actually change not only your life, but the lives of many other people. I also want to mention that in the bookstores right now and online, you can get the book, Indivisible, and I'm encouraging you to get it and to read it and to pass it on. You're going to find that what God has led us to do is to share, I believe, the message that many of you have been praying would go out that would help show us the way out of the wilderness of despair and disheartening discouragement that so many people sense. And we really do want to be a blessing to our nation by pointing in the right direction. I think that's what all of us as ministers should do. And I believe there is a way that appears right to many men. The ways are the ways of death. But then there's the way of life, and we're really seeking to point in that direction. I want to hold up a book that is titled Average Joe, and I'm really curious about that. The subheading says God's Extraordinary Calling to Ordinary Men. And I know a lot of people feel pretty ordinary. I know, Betty, you've told many times on our program, you're no average Joe, but you are a person who felt like
very ordinary.
And
insignificant.
I was watching you on the monitor when we came on, and I said, boy, she's pretty. If I wasn't married to her and I wasn't married, I'd try to get a date. You are radiant. You are in no way ordinary, but can you understand what, and we're going to meet the author in a moment and talk about the book and his wife and how people do feel like they're
Absolutely.
Just average or so Absolutely. Ordinary they don't matter?
Absolutely. I would imagine a lot of people feel that way. And being a woman, probably a lot of women, girls, they feel like, who cares about me? You know, what? How do I add to this life? I mean, who would even miss me if I was gone?
It makes me very sad that anyone feels that way. And yet I know that, I think you've probably heard me talk about my childhood without a father and without a family. And when kids, you know, would do things at recess and do things at school and they would pick teams, well, I moved, as I remember, about 15 to 17 times in a 10-year period. So I didn't get to know people a lot of times very well, or at least for a period of time. But there were the many times when they would choose teams, and after they chose, I was still standing there when the other kids went off to play. Hmm. I don't even think I have the ability to tell you how lonely that felt, how overlooked. I really wonder sometimes, Betty, if a lot of people don't feel that way, and yet I found an incredible, indescribable comfort in knowing that God chose me.
Amen.
And I think if all of you, and I really have an idea that that's what Troy is going to try to communicate, the author of the Average Joe book, I think to communicate how God has chosen you and chosen you for a very special reason. I want you to welcome the author of Average Joe, Troy Meter, and his wife, Kim, to Life Today. Would you welcome? It's good to see you. Glad to have you. Good to see you. Okay, average Joe.
Average Joe, absolutely.
Is that the way you felt about yourself?
Absolutely. I grew up in the 70s, early 60s, all through the 70s, and had big dreams and things I wanted to do. I wanted to be a jet pilot. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to scuba dive with Jacques Cousteau. And I had all those things that, you know, as a guy, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go conquer the world. And I grew up in a blue-collar family that, you know, college was kind of out of the question. And I had a chance to go to 1 year of college, took off and thought, I'm on my way. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to have letters after my name. I'm going to have a brass plaque on my door that says my name to my office. I'm going to be somebody. And after a year, I was done. I was out of money, and my grades weren't that good. And so I packed up my Volkswagen and headed back to home. And that month, it was June of 1979, I started having a dream. And it was a reoccurring dream that would happen about once a month. And it was like I was in this third person, and I can still see it today so vividly. And there's this little old man sitting on the steps of Point Loma College down in Southern California. And he's got long gray hair, and he's skinny and scrawny, and he's been there forever, and he's got books everywhere. And all around him walk the students that had promise. They were young, they're full of promise. They're going to be the doctors, lawyers, pilots, pastors, all those guys, you know, walking around this little old man. And then as the dream went on, I realized the little old man was me. And then I had never left the school. I had never done anything with my life. All I had done is sit there and try and do something, try and make myself something. And I can remember waking up from the dream time and time again, feeling like, gosh, Troy, you've done nothing with your life. You're still that old man that never finished school. You never flew jets. You never joined the Air Force. You're just an average Joe. Several years ago, Kim and I were up in the North Cascades hiking like we always do. We had our little camper up, and I had the dream. And I woke up in the morning, and Kim had some coffee on, and she kind of noticed on my countenance were a little bit down. Is everything okay? And I said, no, I had the dream again. And as my wife, she's a beautiful companion, she grabbed her laptop and said, you know, let's talk about this dream that you had. And she started typing. Mm-hmm. And we got in the truck and headed up towards Yakima and Leavenworth and up in that area. And she said, do you think that maybe guys like you may feel the same way? And I thought, yeah, I bet there's a lot of guys out there that feel that same way. They feel like they're average, like they had these big dreams. Mm-hmm. And not that average, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to ever have guys feel like, well, I'm just married, I just have kids. No, that's the beautiful part of life. But we get so wrapped up as guys in thinking that I have to do these huge things to be a man. No, you don't. God's calling on your life, God's value of your life is not in what you do. It's in who you are. It's in how Betty sees you. Your value as a man, my value as a man, is not if I have this wonderful TV show or this ranch for kids. There's the value. And even more so, there's the value. When our Jesus looks us in the eyes and says, buddy, I've got a plan for you, and maybe it's pouring a cup of coffee at Starbucks, but doggone it, you're going to be the best Starbucks coffee pourer on the planet. And you're going to love those people around you. And you're going to be a man that loves your wife and loves your kids and does what he's supposed to do with his shoulders squared off and his eyes fixed on Jesus. There's a scripture in the book that I wrote. I didn't write the book. There's a scripture in the book that I copied from Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And it says that John and James were standing and speaking to the Jerusalem council, all the big smart guys. And the word says that they were amazed at what came out of the mouths of these ordinary men. And then the back half of the verse says, because they had been with Jesus. That's what makes them extraordinary.
Yes, it does.
I'm just a normal, everyday guy that has a youth ranch for kids, gets in the morning, yesterday morning I was digging a hole for a fence post, and then scooping horse manure, you know, just doing average stuff. But because of my Jesus and because of who he is in my life, I get to live an extraordinary life.
You know what really breaks my heart is that a lot of people, they hear you talking about Jesus, but they immediately identify it with some kind of a religious association that has never seemed to have much profound or positive effect on the people who identify with it.
Yeah.
You know, like who show up down at the church.
Yeah.
They don't act like there's been any difference. There is no substitute for Jesus.
That's right.
It's not religion. It's a relationship.
That's right.
And a lot of people kind of, they really want to meet God, but they end up getting stuck in religion. But their churches are full of people, many great churches, full of people where God is big and where God is real and where the relationship is genuine and has transforming effect. Mm-hmm. And this is what you're talking about. So you're not talking about people becoming extraordinary in their life as ordinary people because they associated with some religious group.
Not at
you're
all.
You're talking about a relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely.
Right.
That could take you when you're having a recurring dream and it looks like your life is just vanity, it's nothing, it's insignificant, and you suddenly find out Jesus makes the most ordinary people feel extraordinary.
Yeah.
And you then begin to let this life and love be expressed through you, because I've been around you and I watch what you do, see what you're doing. You're working with kids on the ranch, the things you're doing, and now then they're modeling this all over the world where they're using animals and horses to try to minister to children. And all of a sudden, all these ordinary people that don't think they've got anything going, they're ministering to people that feel totally overlooked, because they become extraordinary because Christ in them is alive.
Absolutely. Now,
I don't know if I'm summing up what you're you're saying and experiencing, but what I actually see is people caught in this crossfire between, am I going to identify with a religion, or am I going to have this transforming experience with this living Jesus that
takes an
average Joe and does extraordinary things?
It's all Jesus. There's a story in the book called The Gardener, and it's this man that I spent time with, and he was a 60-something, Phyllis Diller glasses, John Deere hat, Carhartt coverall, landscaper guy that loved Jesus. And I don't even know if he went to church, but I know he was passionately in love with Jesus. The words that poured out of his mouth while we mowed grass together and planted flowers together and did average stuff, the world would see him as just an old man walking down the street in dirty coveralls. But he was an extraordinary man because of the calling God had on his life. And he lived that out in the place that God had called him to. And I, talking about myself and the guys I spend time with, we get so wrapped up in the what ifs, and I should be doing that, and I should be climbing these mountains and doing this man adventure, and those are all good things, or starting a company, and those are all good things. But we forget the best thing is our relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Our day-to-day time in the Word with the Lord, and just spending time with Him. And being a man that says, my yes is yes, my no is no, my handshake is my bond. If I told you, James, I was going to build a house for you for X amount of dollars and we shook hands, by golly, we're going to do it. That's how it's going to be.
And you mean even in these uncertain economic times?
You bet.
The housing market, you'll get some calls. Let's put a phone number up. Kim, let me ask you, have you watched this, quote, understanding of average Joe and the extraordinary work God can do? And you've watched the changes in him. He shares in the book that y'all had a time of some tension come up because he was kind of, let's say, being really in the wrong way, ordinary, and not letting the extraordinary come forth.
I don't know a marriage that would not be honest to say that everyone goes through that place of fire and that tempering. And I saw my husband struggle the most when he was trying to make his life valuable, not Christ being valuable through him. He was trying to find value in himself, in what he could do. And that's where we had the most tension in our marriage. And I can tell you with certainty, women are not meant to lead a marriage. And boy, I got beat up. And because I was getting beat up, I would come home and beat up him because I was hurt.
Yeah.
You were hurt. Our focus was not on Christ. It was on us. In this life, we only have two gears. We're either focused on Jesus Christ or on ourselves. It's a short list. And at that time, both of us, you know, we knew, we go to church, we'd punch the time clock, as you said, but the relationship was not being nurtured and grown. That takes effort. And when you cross that bridge of saying, Jesus plus nothing, that's what I want. That's
and leading the marriage. Yes. I had stepped aside and said, you know, if you want to go to church, I'll go with you. If you want to pray, okay, you know, we'll do that. Doggone it. I'd rather watch the ball game, but okay. And it wasn't until I stood up and said, no, wait a minute. I'm the pastor of my home. There's a responsibility there. That's my job. That's my calling in life. Mm-hmm. And when I took that mantle of, you know, responsibility and said, from now on, we're going together, but I'm the guy that God's called to lead this
right.
home. Boy, you could just see the health and beauty of our relationship totally change. Yeah. And not in a, you know, I'm the ruler kind of guy, not at all. Our Lord is a servant king.
That's right.
And that when I serve my wife and lead her in a way that isn't service and taking her to the arms of Jesus, that's when things change.
That's what you really seek to inspire people to understand the importance of. And I think if you could really recognize that how often you feel overlooked or how insignificant you feel, that we really find our significance in Christ and in a relationship with Him. And that when we find that, we suddenly, now if we really listen to Jesus, then we live beyond our world and begin to make a difference in other people's world.
That's right. Yep. That's what it's about.
And where they live, because we really release the river of God's love and life toward others. And really, there really isn't anyone average. It's just people that feel average.
Yeah.
And when they allow God to be who He is in us, yeah, it becomes a supernatural.
And I think that is key, is coming to the realization of who God is.
Absolutely.
And how unlimited He is and wants to be in our lives. If we allow Him to, if we submit ourselves to do and let Him show us who He is.
Yeah.
All powerful. Yeah. He can do all things.
Yeah,
He wants to take us. He wants us to come as we are.
Absolutely.
You know, so many times I think we hold back because we think we got to dress up and be perfect before we even communicate with the Lord, you know, and that's not it at all. He said, come to me just as you are, and I will fill you with my love, with my spirit, and let you, give you that extraordinary, because He's the one that is extraordinary.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Well, I really do pray people to get the book. What, bottom line, what do you hope they grasp when they get through the book?
The book is not about being mediocre, not at all. The book is about fighting for what is truth and what is right. I love the story of Eleazar in the book of, I think it was 2 Samuel, one of the three of David's mighty men. And the word says that he stood back to back with his king and drew his sword and fought the enemy until he could no longer hold up his sword. And he was an average Joe, probably a criminal, an outcast. Who knows who he was? Just a quick line about him. But here's a man that stood back to back with his king. I want to stand back to back with my Jesus and fight till the day I can't stand.
That's really what everybody needs to do. I want to recommend the book to you. Also, Kim wrote a book called Fierce Beauty. She actually, her dad killed her mother when she was 9 and then killed himself. And that's a pretty big blow. Mm. And there's going to require a fierceness, even in the realm of faith, to find the beauty that God has. And these two books are really, really meaningful. You appreciate very much his incredible testimony before. Kim, the way both of you have been a great ministry, a team as you helped young people. Betty and I have been a team now for soon 50 years. You know, next year we'll be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. And it's been a wonderful journey. There have been those tense moments. I've been the one that fought more often. None of you had to guess at that. You already figured it out. You didn't have to do any big research or be a rocket scientist. But I want to tell you the thing that has meant so much to Betty and me is living beyond our world.
That's right.
And our viewers tell us, James, thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the Bible teaching. But we appreciate the opportunity of changing somebody's world with love. I want you to watch closely.
Anakku minu ranu maluto wana ayu iranu maluto tata etiang maluto te buakang manasa mangarah maluto minu ngava wana ayu te ambanatu manuhanga hiku nyara kamwanaku faizahurai kevo matsakara nuvau ra hinana ehan dimanza tukua tiazu enza fanga fuli tiazu enza sakafu timbazu emar tiampe fiainga
You know, when I saw that graphic go up, no hope, and then no life, I found myself saying, hope lives here. Life lives here. The way, the truth, and the life. Don't tell me there's no hope. I listened to that mother in Madagascar off the east coast of Southern Africa. All these children are sick. All they need is clean water. We're not looking for a cure for cancer or some undiagnosable disease, and we got the cure. If just a cup of water, you would give in my name. Hope said that. Life said that. Jesus said that. You won't lose your reward. You know, my mind never does race. I guess I can understand some racing to think, what might that reward be? Betty, there's so much hope and life that God's put in my heart for others that it's reward enough to see that same mother see her children get clean water, to see her friends and their families come to a clean water source and no longer say, no life, no hope, but have life. And we make that possible. God's love through us, through our viewers, make that possible. Betty and I give to the Water Well Drilling Program. We give to every mission outreach we're involved in. Our lives, our time, but our resources. And anytime, it's amazing how we give, and it's like God blesses, we're able to have more than enough. And we keep asking God, let us give. So I'm asking, would you do this? And we need everybody all over the world. In Australia, you are so wonderful. Thank you. Sometimes I think you're helping us here in North America when we felt some of the weight you haven't felt, and yet you felt tremendous weight through the flooding and the problems you've had. God bless you. Thanks for your help. In the UK, in Canada, all over the U.S., but we need to hear from all of you. Our goal of hundreds of wells, it's one well at a time, one gift at a time. Could you give a well? I pray, Father, today several will give a well. I pray there'd be someone today who would give several wells. Say, I can do it. I've been blessed. I'll do it. Help everyone to give. Do you realize $48, 10 people water the rest of their life, $144, 30 people water the rest of their life? Would you write a check, make it to life? That's what you're giving. Use your bank card like a check and call us and say, here's my gift. Or go online, lifetoday.org. It's always wonderful to see people make gifts today. We got it. We can pass it on to the missionaries and to those that are drilling the water wells. Thank you for making that call. We have some gifts to bless you in your spiritual journey and to say thank you for your love. Please make that special gift today. If you should ever get busy, you just keep calling. Be persistent. Lives do depend on it. We need to hear from every one of you making the best gift you possibly can.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on Life Today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Well, you know, here's a water source. And, you know, you need to understand that this is contaminated water. It may look clean to you, it may look clean to the people that live in the villages around here, but it's contaminated from human waste, animal waste. I think it's important you understand that we're going to do our best to drill a well here, but there are, and please grasp this if you possibly can, there are 1 billion people all over the world we don't have clean water. And 10,000 people will die of waterborne illnesses today. But we can stop that. Dial that telephone number and make the very best gift you can. Please do it and do it now. Please make the gift, or you can go on lifetoday.org. I mean, you could give a community, a village, perhaps a well, or you could give toward the drilling of a well. You could give 30 people or 60 people water for life by simply making a gift today. Please do it. Average Joe, Troy Meter, Fierce Beauty, Kim Meter, our guests. Say thanks to Kim and to Troy again. Thank you, both of you, and your work with young people. And thank you for the example. I do want to remind you, indivisible, you get it. And let's turn our nation back to stability and security. Thank you so much for your help. Thank you for being such a blessing to us and to others all over the world.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn. In their new book, James Robison and Jay Richards call us to stand together before it's too late. As one nation, truly under God. Indivisible, the New York Times bestseller, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores.
So they didn't really say anything. They signaled by nodding their head, and I thought, that is such a classic man thing. Don't you think it is? I
mean, like, Beth women, Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.